Good morning, friends. How are you guys? Good? Good.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you found your way on this icy February day. You can learn more about how we are church together in your bulletin. There is a calendar and also announcements sharing with you more about our worship and fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. And as always, if you have a question, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table to receive any questions you might have. Just a few announcements this morning. First, don't forget that next weekend is the chance that we have to serve at St. Joseph. So if you have not already, please do sign up to donate your time or food items. What else is going on this month?
Morning, everybody. Just a quick reminder, this is the last Sunday if we're going to the Amherst game. That is next week. I will hand out the tickets next week. If you can't do anything today, my number's on the bulletin. Get a hold of me. You can make some kind of special arrangements. But again, today's the last day. Come down to the fellowship hall and see me and sign up, and we'll get the tickets out next week, okay? Thank you.
Awesome.
Also happening this month, our Jamaica mission team heads out next Saturday for their time together. Please note that the commissioning for our Jamaica mission team is going to happen during the time for children, so we're not skipping over it. We're just going to make sure the kids have a good view for that. And also, please take note in your bulletin, there is a Lenten book study coming up, and so you may want to order that book and get started reading it now. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to email or give me a call. Now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Thank you. for the friends we love.
Give thanks for the friends we love.
Praise God for the water clear.
Praise God for the water clear.
Give thanks for each breath of air.
Give thanks for each breath of air.
Praise God every way you can.
Give thanks, woman, child, and man.
Praise God every way you can.
Give thanks, woman, child, and man.
Please stand if able and join me in the call to worship. All heaven and earth proclaim the majesty of God's creative power.
Praise God every way you can.
All creation points to God's glory, honor, and loving kindness.
We rejoice in the goodness of God.
Notice the ways God keeps calling us.
We come to worship and give thanks to the one who leads us in the ways of life.
Let us join our hearts and voices together in a time of confession. Holy One, we confess that we are caught up in the ways of the world instead of looking to commandments and rules as a way to guide our life. We use them to punish and restrict others. Forgive us for our judgments and misconceptions. We become so fearful of tomorrow and what it might bring. We fail to trust in you. Call us back to your way of life, a way of love, commitment, respect, and forgiveness. Call us back to a way of life that honors you and creation. and guides us to better love our neighbors as ourselves. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who fulfilled the promise of new life, we pray. Amen. God is alive and at work nurturing our growth, nourishing and reconciling us to one another. God hears the confessions of our hearts and forgives generously, sharing love with all who follow in God's ways. It is through God's amazing grace that we are forgiven, and all God's children respond, "Thanks be to God." Children are welcome to come forward at this time. All right, let's see. Come on this way, come on this way. I know. How about we're going to fill in this space right here. We're going to face this way, though. All right, there we go. Good morning. And at this time, the Jamaica mission team and advisors are welcome to come forward at this time, too. And they can have a seat right in the front row. A wonderful job, friends. Thank you so much for sharing in worship with us this morning.
And we also have a very exciting opportunity this morning to be a part of the excitement that our high school seniors and a few of the adults from this church to pray for them, to wish them well as they head out on winter break to serve on a mission team to get to know our friends and neighbors in Jamaica. So winter break, well, there are a lot of choices to do things over winter break, isn't there? There are lots of fun things we can do, hanging out with our friends, staying home. Maybe some of us don't have as many choices because our parents work, so we end up in childcare. Yeah, I'm seeing some head nods. I know. But the older we get, the more choices that we have, and the more opportunities we have to choose the ways that we can not only make good, healthy choices for ourselves, but also choices that bring life to our neighbors and our world. So we're going to put our attention right now on that group who is choosing to get to know their neighbors in the world. So Mrs. Harder's going to lead the commissioning. Okay, you guys want to pay attention? All right.
Good morning. We've had a wonderful group of people that have gone to Jamaica since 2001, and here we are in 2017. So when I call your names, would you just please come up here and stand so I can talk to you for a minute? So I invite Samantha Dykes, James Hart, Scott Lewis, Ian Unson, Beth Molina, Mary Hadley, and Katie Steert. Of course, we know where she is. This mission team will leave very early in the morning on Saturday to travel to Jamaica. They will work with our partners at the United Church of Jamaica and Green Island, Negril and Santoy. They will be working with the students, teachers, and staff at the basic school. This year, they will be working with the staff and community volunteers at the basic school to help build a fence to keep the children safe while at school. They will also be working with the Negril congregation to provide a much-needed coat of paint to the sanctuary. So, workers... Here's Samantha. Do you accept this work, understanding it is an expression of your love of God for God's people? If so, please say, I do. As you do this work, will you also open your hearts to the people of the Green Island and Negril communities, continuing to build the partnership between Gates Presbyterian and the United Church of Jamaica? If so, say, I will. Will you listen to the life stories of the people of Jamaica, and will you share your stories with them so that together you will discover ways in which God is working in the world? If so, please say, I will. All right, congregation. Members of Gates Presbyterian Church, will you pray for these mission travelers as they seek to serve God? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Let us pray together. O God, who calls us to service, we pray for this Jamaican mission team. Please keep them safe in their travels. Focus them on their purpose. Energize them for their work. Help them to experience you in the partnership we have with the United Church of Jamaica. Amen.
Amen.
Good luck. Have fun.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends. So you guys can head off to Sunday school now.
The first reading for this morning is from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous ordinances, I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word.
Amen. Our second reading of the Word this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses begins, "Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to the heaven for us and get it for us, that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it?' No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, holding fast to him. For that means life to you and the length of days so that you all may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. So for a guy who first resisted his call from God on account of the fact that he felt uncomfortable speaking in public, Moses wraps up his ministry with quite the homiletic masterpiece. Most of the book of Deuteronomy details the speech that Moses gave to the Israelite people in the territory of Moab. It's there that the people gather in the area where the River Jordan flows into the Dead Sea. And there, they anxiously await the moment that those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness after fleeing the oppression of slavery will finally end. And then they can cross over to the Promised Land. But before that happens, like a minister who prays too long before a much anticipated meal, Moses wants to make sure that the people pause. Take just a moment to give thanks for God's ongoing commitment in their lives. His words also look back on the struggles that they have come through, when they didn't always choose life for themselves, for their neighbors, the community. Moses also looks forward to the future and the opportunities that they have again and again and again to make the choice that God has put before them, to choose life. There's a sense of urgency also here in these words that Moses delivers. If you just page ahead just a few verses, you can see the people are about to live into this new future without their leader. Moses delivers these final words. He climbs up to the top of the mountain where he can see all the land that the Lord has promised. And there, Moses dies. This makes the urgency of the words we hear in chapter 30 all the more poignant. God has set before the people the opportunity to choose life or death, prosperity, destruction. I want to pause for just a minute. I want to make note of the dangerous way that this text can be and has been interpreted. Some suggest that what this passage is saying is that if I do everything right, If I follow God faithfully, do everything that God has commanded, then I will receive nothing but blessings. The flip side of this, of course, is that if you are suffering and life isn't working out the way that you had envisioned it might, you must have fallen short in being faithful to God. But don't worry, some preachers will say, if you turn your attitude around and offer donations to a worthwhile religious cause, God will ensure your good choices are rewarded. Good life will abound. There's a term for this. It's called prosperity gospel. This is not a theology I buy into, nor do I think that we see in the larger context of Moses' words to the people. Over and over and over again, Moses sets before Israel the commandments of God, the communal life which as God's people they are called to embody, that the choices before them are about their life together. Now, granted, though, Moses is being very clear about what choice the people need to be making. He uses what one commentator describes as an old debater's trick designed to funnel one's hearers towards the position that the speaker prefers, right? The speaker presents this bilateral view of the matter. It's this or it's that. No options, no middle ground. You gotta pick one, and you have to pick. Philosophers who don't like this trick very much teach freshmen in college that it is a logical fallacy or a false choice, because the world is always more complex than it is often presented, especially by those who have an agenda. And there are plenty of examples out there for us to learn about this method. And so one, which was a few years ago now, there was a debate between creationist Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis and someone you may be a bit more familiar with, Bill Nye, the science guy. It's excellent. If you missed it, look it up on YouTube. Because on several occasions, the creationist, Ham, puts the matter to his listeners very starkly, and these are his words. Either one accepts the Bible, divine creation, moral order, motherhood, apple pie, and puppies, or else one supports evolution, anarchy, ritual sacrifice, and Festivus. You could just picture the folks all around the country sitting in their Barco loungers looking at their significant other and saying, well, we don't believe in anarchy or religious sacrifice, and we love puppies. Not sure what Festivus is, but we just can't be evolutionists. Because when you put it that way, who wouldn't want to disassociate themselves from what is being portrayed as the very heart of darkness, of death and suffering and adversity? Now, despite Moses pulling a Ken Ham on the Israelites, offering them two choices, one that is unthinkable yet familiar, they know, as we do, that choosing life is not always as easy as it sounds. Because choosing life isn't about a prosperity model of the gospel, just about what is good and comfortable and beneficiary for me. Choosing life is about the ways we do so that is good for all of us, for my neighbors and my community. This week, the Rochester City School District is asking their students and their staff to
to reflect on what it means to learn and to listen from those who have raised their voices to say that our societies and schools and communities don't always make choices that include life for all people. On Friday, in conjunction with Black History Month, the city's schools are going to recognize why Black lives matter at school. So they put this statement out. You may have even seen it in the news. And of course, right away, the question came up, well, don't all lives matter, right? Of course, all lives matter. But the problem with asking that question is that its very nature suggests a similar dichotomy as Moses presents, encouraging the type of thinking that there must only be one choice, one correct answer. And so therefore to say that Black lives matter means that brown and white or blue lives don't matter. Except when we redirect the conversation in this way, we gloss over and we diminish the pain and the anguish of our African American brothers and sisters in this country. When we hear the cries of those experiencing the intended and unintended consequences of people choosing their own individual lives above the lives of their neighbors and communities, God calls us, all of us, to begin to see how we can make different choices. And so what the Rochester City Schools are doing, according to the statement that they put out, is that they're providing the opportunity for students and staff a space for difficult conversations, for learning opportunities, to look back on American history that made choices to build up the lives of some and push down the lives of others. They are providing an opportunity to re-examine the choices that are being made today and how we can move forward, choosing life and equity for all people. And I don't often read the comments section. It's a dangerous practice. But those media outlet posts, there were a lot of questions about whether or not having a Black Lives Matter at school day, does it even make a difference? What happens when people get offended or discouraged or decide to pursue different choices altogether? What if they do? But what happens if our schools, our children, model for us new ways to say yes? To say yes to move closer to the pain, where choosing life for some has meant death for others. We're saying yes to naming clearly where this has happened, saying yes to life that God imagines for all of God's people. And I imagine that there in Moab, Moses and the people, encamped on the border of the promised land, maybe asking themselves the same questions. What does saying yes look like for us? And the thing is, Moses and the community that 900 years later, who first recorded this oral tradition of the story, know that over and over again, people don't always make choices that affirm the lives of the community, that they will embrace injustice and oppression, and that the consequences of those choices do impact the lives of people generations later. And they had to be wondering if it would make any difference to be courageous, to be honest, to be uncomfortable about the complexities of what it does mean to choose life. The answer is yes.
Moses tells them the answer is yes. It was yes then, now, and into the future. In preparing this sermon, I came across a poem by Edwina Gatley, who reaffirms our call to say yes in all its many forms, that we do better together as a community, and we indeed say yes to life. She writes, "We are called to say yes, that the kingdom might break through to renew, to transform our dark and groping world. We stutter and we stammer to the lone God who calls and pleads a new Jerusalem in the bloodied Sinai Straits. We are called to say yes, that honeysuckle may twine and twist its smelling leaves over the graves of nuclear arms. We are called to say yes, that children might play on the soil of Vietnam where the tanks belched blood and death. We are called to say yes, that black may sing with white and pledge peace and healing for the hatred of the past. We are called to say yes, so that nations might gather and dance one great movement for the joy of humankind. We are called to say yes, so that rich and poor embrace and become equal in their poverty through the silent tears that fall. We are called to say yes, that the whisper of our God might be heard through our sirens and the screams of our bombs. That we are called to say yes to a God who still holds fast to the vision of the kingdom for a trembling world of pain. We are called to say yes to this God who reaches out and asks us to share this crazy dream of love. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. we gather in this time of worship, we share the prayers of joy and the prayers of concern on our hearts this day. If you'd like to share a prayer aloud, raise your hand and an usher will come over to you. Let us know who you are and speak clearly into the microphone, please.
Good morning, Cam Mossgraber. Especially on this cold, wet, rainy day, I really want to thank all the valets who all year long are there to greet us at the door and to help with those of us who aren't quite so limber anymore. And I really do appreciate their service. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thanks be to God. I think I saw another hand back here.
Roger Best, I guess you've probably seen the paper about the little boy that was killed in the accident. I have a personal connection there because I actually met the boy at Thanksgiving dinner with his family, and I also had Christmas dinner with him as well. And it's been a tough time.
So prayers for the family and all those who knew the young boy who was killed in the car accident this week. We also have prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of concern that it's gloomy out. Amen. Prayers of joy for going to Grandma's house, for building forts and sleeping in them, watching funny shows with Dad, movie nights, and playing Inspector Gadget with my brothers. Prayers of joy that a lost bunny was found. Prayers of joy for loose teeth and baseball season, soccer, musicals, and swimming. Prayers of concern that the candy bucket was not in its usual position, Mr. Ward. That is a prayer of concern. Oh. Oh, we have one more prayer, yes.
Sorry, last minute. Meredith Shaw, I asked for prayers for my daughter this week, Caitlin. She's going to be going through surgery to have her tonsils and adenoids removed.
Prayers for Caitlin and also for worried moms and dads. Let us pray together. Speaking God, throughout history and the world, you have gathered your people around your word to instruct, to inspire. And we give thanks for all who have received your vision and shaped diverse, faithful communities to follow in your way. Continue to open that vision to us, that we may become transformed by the renewing of your word in our hearts. Enable us to grow in love and in understanding for each other. Create in us, O God, clean hearts and minds. Let us join with you in your suffering and your triumph, for we desire to be your children, to share your love and life with all whom we meet. And we share together in the words that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us celebrate from the abundance in which God has shared with each of us to offer back to God in worship with our morning offering.
Father, please accept these gifts that we bring and help them to spread your word. Help them to reach out to those in need and those who are suffering either physically or from other ways. And we just thank you for all your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go out, friends, confident in the love and life that God gives to us all, and with the grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and the courage of the Holy Spirit that it takes to do it day in, day out, again and again. Alleluia. Amen.